Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It's the Neek and Rouge Show. And don't be mistaken, we are going to give you that NFL knowledge like no one else can do it. We are going to enjoy our time while doing it. And, you know, we're back. We're back, as always, man. The season's wrapping up. Neek, it's getting down to it, man. Like, I mean, the playoffs are about a month away. You know, what are we already at? Week 12? Week 11's wrapping up. We're going to go over, you know, the action from week 11 and tell you about Monday Night Football. We're also going to give you our predictions from week 12. You know, we got some NFL news for you. But my co-host, my partner, my boy, my homie, NFL sports agent, Neek, tell him what's on your mind, bro.
Thank you for that lovely introduction. What is going on, boys and girls, men and women out there listening to the Neek and Rue Show? I am the co-host, Neek. Good introduction for me, Rue. Appreciate you, man. Love doing the show with you every week. But, man, it's crazy because I texted you earlier and I said, Rudy, you know, next week, man, is the end of college football season. I'm talking about the season. And then pretty soon, bowl games will be right up on us. And the next thing you know, a lot of NFL fans, some teams are pretty much done. It's a wrap, you know. They need to go ahead and just,
They're eliminated.
Oh, you want to bring it up? Bengals are eliminated. Rudy want me to let the Cincinnati fans know that the Bengals are eliminated. First team to be eliminated because they 0-10. And when you're 0-10, you are definitely eliminated. My Giants, for new fans are tuned in, I'm a Giants and Raiders fan. I don't have much good news on my Giants. But keep listening to our show because I'm probably going to be doing a Giants rant for the Giants Nation probably sometime this week, so keep an eye on that. Rudy's a diehard Browns fan. He's going to be doing his State of the Browns rant. Be looking for that. I think he actually is going to do that a little bit later on. But anyway, let's get the show going. Rudy, as always, man, let's get into this news.
Let's get into this news, Neek. Neek, you know I love UFC. I love MMA. I love boxing. I love fighting, Neek. And you know I love this NFL. Neek, my Browns, I'm going to call what happened on Thursday Night Football, the Browns Brawl. In the Browns Brawl, in the aftermath, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. The Browns obviously won the game 21-7 after dominating the Steelers. They put out Deontay Johnson, one of their receivers, with the hit to the head in which he was bleeding from the ear. They put out Juju Smith-Schuster. They put out James Conner. And I will say it's not an exaggeration that Mason Rudolph might be put out when the Browns play the Steelers in 2 weeks because there is a bounty on your head, young man. I'm telling you, it ain't no joke out here. We headhunting, but my boy Myles Garrett, he was the one that paid the ultimate penalty and ended up being the Colin Kaepernick basically in this situation. He ended up being the martyr because he's out for the rest of the season. And then maybe next season, the playoffs, if we make it, we ain't making the playoffs, but we beat the Steelers' ass. That's my Mike Tomlin voice. You know what Mike Tomlin said? Kick him in the nuts. He's going to get mad. He's going to hit you with his helmet in the head, or he's going to do some other foolishness because he's a late hitter. And we're going to bait him, and we're going to snitch, and you're going to throw your hands up because the quarterback is protected. Mason Rudolph, you're not the quarterback of the future, even though the Steelers are saying you're the quarterback of the future. Larry Ogunjobi also got suspended the game because he pushed Mason Rudolph with his helmet in his ass. That's why he got hit in the head with his helmet. Protect your neck, son. Wu-Tang. Marquise Pouncey was throwing them things. I know him and Mike came up throwing them things because he threw a nice three-piece and kicked people. He didn't kick nobody in the ding-ding like Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph, you don't deserve your last name. You are not a Rudolph. I'm going to talk about the Browns later in the show, and I'm going to have a rant about them later. Go Browns, 21-7 victory. More in the news, couple other things. Matthew Stafford out for 6 weeks. Might as well say he's done for the year, right, Neek? Driscoll's actually been playing well. We'll talk about the score in that game. Antonio Callaway got cut right before the Browns game. Antonio Callaway, man, I gotta say, like Stephen A. Smith, stay off the weeds. I mean, or at least get a good masking agent or something. Bengals got Drake Kirkpatrick on the IR. I mean, Bengals, 0-10. The Eagles signed running back Jay Ajayi. Didn't they already have him before? Tampa Bay cut Vernon Hargraves. He wasn't out of a job long. He did not get to collect any unemployment checks, but he did get signed by the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans also cut linebacker Centrell Henderson. And Oakland. Houston cut Centrell Henderson. Then Oakland signed Preston Brown, the Raiders. Next thing I wanted to mention, I wanted to mention a platform. We're going to start expanding the show a little bit, maybe going to a little bit more college football, maybe even eventually some high school. We'll see. You know, cover all bases here. Just talk about football, period. Tua Tagovailoa, I still can't say his name after all this time. He hurt and dislocated his hip playing in a game this past week for Alabama. At one point, it was thought that Miami was tanking for Tua. I'm here to say Miami is officially not tanking for Tua. They have two wins this year. They've been playing some good football. The Dolphins play my Browns coming up in week 12. But Tua dislocated his hip. I want to see, Neek, you are a draft expert. I think myself is. How do you think that him dislocating his hip, having multiple ankle injuries the last couple of years and only a short time playing to Alabama in the 2 years that he's played as a starting quarterback, is going to affect his draft status? Do you think that takes him out of first-round consideration or what?
Well, the bottom line with Tua is this. It only takes one NFL organization to like this guy. I mean, regardless of the injuries or not. The bottom line is this. Great talent. Definitely his game, his college game definitely translates to the NFL game, but it also depends on which organization wants to take this kid, make him their franchise QB for the next few years, and which NFL organization this kid's play fits within their system. You know, that's the main thing you got to look at. Dolphins, they do have 3 first round picks. It all depends, you know, if they love Tua like that and they want him like that, they can get him in the middle of the first round. That's probably where I would take him. I wouldn't take him in the top 10, top 5. I wouldn't touch him at all just based off the injury history alone. But I do like Burrow. I think Burrow is the best quarterback coming out this draft class. I do like Jalen Hurts. I could go with Jalen Hurts over Tua just based off of not being injured, the injury history.
Do you like the Oregon QB?
Oregon QB, Justin Herbert, he's pretty good. But still, I don't know if his game translates to the NFL.
He's still a first-round draft pick. Nick.
Yeah, he's still a first-round draft pick. But what
is
I'm
he
saying
the first
is,
quarterback taken?
No, he's not the first quarterback taken. Joe That's Burrow. Burrow. Joe Burrow is going to be the first quarterback taken.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Nick, we're going to go through week 11, okay, because these scores just happened from yesterday. Okay, got you, man. So, first off, I'll just start off with Thursday night. I'm going to let you run through Sunday. Going on to Monday. On Monday, we'll talk about what we think is going to happen because we're on Monday now. You know what I'm saying? It's what, the 18th of November, Monday Night Football tonight. We'll talk about the KC and the Chargers matchup in just a second. First, I'm going to start off with Thursday Night Football. Nick, I already talked about it. Week 11, Pittsburgh and Cleveland. The big thing that happened here to me is Mason Rudolph threw 4 interceptions, man. He got exposed. I heard on Speak for Yourself, I don't like to call out of the shows. That's my show, though. Whitlock. My dude, Marcellus Wiley, ex-player, they said one of the questions was, will Baker be exposed in this game on Thursday Night Football against the Steelers? GTFOH, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because Mason Rudolph threw 4 picks, and he's trying to pull people's helmets off after he gets sacked. So I told you about the Thursday Night Football score. It was 21-7. Browns rolled in that one. But it wasn't without casualties. Told you about the Myles Garrett. Missed a couple field goals in that one score. Probably should have been a little bit worse. It was a dismantling. I'm proud of my Browns after that one. Improved their record to 4-6. Knocked the Steelers down to 5-5. Like I said, go Browns. Neat. Week 11. What happened yesterday?
All right. Since you covered that game, good job, Rude. Dallas and Detroit. Dallas was in a close game right here. Detroit gave them a little bit of game, but Dallas just too much offensive weapons for Detroit. They won 35-27. Indianapolis and Jacksonville. Jacksonville brought back Nick Foles for a start. Actually was decent. DJ Chark, fantasy guy, 2 touchdowns, did his thing. But Colts were just too much at home. They won 33-13. Buffalo beat Miami 37-20. Not much to talk about in that game. John Brown had 2 touchdowns. John Brown was out there balling, doing his thing. I'm glad I took him in DraftKings. He helped me out. Didn't win me any money. But anyway, Denver and Minnesota. Denver was leading this game pretty much the whole game. Then they let Minnesota come back and win this game. I don't know if this could be the end of Vic Fangio. It depends on how they finish out the rest of the season. But this is not going good with Broncos fans right now who are pissed off. New Orleans against Tampa Bay. New Orleans defense dominating this game. Jameis Winston turned the ball over 4 times. New Orleans won 34-17. Jets and the Redskins. Dwayne Haskins was solid. 2 touchdown pass, 214 passing yards. But Darnold did his thing. Jamal Adams, 3 sacks. We're talking about a safety 2 weeks in a row with 5 sacks total from a safety. Yeah, Jamal Adams has been beasting. Jets win 34-17. Atlanta, what has gotten into them? I don't know what's going on. I know they changed assistants. Raheem Morris has been taking over the play call on this defensive side. Defense line is getting after the opposition offenses, and they just dominate. I mean, they dominate Carolina's game 29-3. Baltimore destroyed Houston. Houston's weakness, which is the offensive line, came to fruition yesterday. Baltimore, I think they had 7 sacks or maybe a little bit more, but they won 41-7. San Francisco, close game.
Let's touch on that one for just a second. That Baltimore-Houston game, Nick, you know, that was a transcendent type game, man, because both of these guys were looked to be in the MVP discussion. You know, and in that beautiful, Nick, where we're at in 2019, 2020, really it is, to see where, you know, these two young, I was about to say beautiful men, you know, and I don't want to scare anybody thinking, you know, something that's not. But these two young men that are excellent quarterbacks that are seem to have a lot of philanthropic interest and just to be living their life on the highest level and to just be evaluated for their skills on the field and to be field generals and to be two of the best players and quarterbacks in this league. They happen to be black, though. They happen to be black. Not a side note, because, Nick, I'm an advocate of the black QB, and I love the Lamar Deshaun experience that we're going through in the NFL. But Lamar's team and the Ravens, they dominated the Texans in that game. And the Texans, I mean, I didn't think they were going to score. And Lamar Jackson, I mean, he had another one of those highlight plays where he's basically stopped at the line of scrimmage and he just made them look like the Bengals out there. Lamar Jackson, if he's not the MVP, I mean, I could see it being Russell Wilson, but he's playing, it's not even at an elite level. And, you know, we all think of Tom Brady as the GOAT, best quarterback ever. Tom Brady's not playing at the level of Lamar Jackson right now. I think that Lamar Jackson, how many incompletions did he have yesterday? Nick, I'd have to look it up real quick. He was very efficient, too.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give Lamar his credit. I mean, I know, I think it was last year, I wasn't the biggest Lamar Jackson fan based off of, you know, his stature, and I didn't think he was going to last this long, actually be this effective. He's actually looking pretty good throwing the football, looking pretty solid. But like I said, you know, it remains to be seen on Lamar. He's having a great season. I'm not knocking the kid. But I'm not going to just say, oh, man, he's the greatest black quarterback we've ever seen, greatest QB of all time, this and that. Nah, it's a little too early on that right now. Let's see if he get these Ravens into the playoffs, take them far, maybe to the AFC Championship and give them to the Super Bowl and call me after that. But, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, Lamar Jackson, 17-24 for 222 yards, 4 touchdowns in that, you know, win against the Texans. So I just like the efficiency there, throwing for the 4 touchdowns. So any detractors or people saying that he's just a running back, obviously that is not the case. He's turned into, obviously, to me, number 2 in the MVP discussion right now, halfway through the season, with Russell Wilson being a leader.
All right, let's finish up these Week 11 games. Oakland and Cincinnati. It was looking a little rough for the Raiders starting off the game. They were struggling a little bit. I had a feeling that the Raiders were going to play down to the Bengals a little bit, mm-hmm. but they pulled it out 17-10. New England went to Philadelphia, pulled out a close game 17-10. I understand the Patriots offense isn't like the Patriot offense of old. They got to find their identity. They're struggling to run the football. But I'll tell you what the main problem is. You got Marshall Newhouse. Marshall Newhouse, when you got him starting trying to block for Tom Brady, it's a wrap, man. I already know all about Marshall Newhouse, one of the worst tackles ever. And then Sunday night football game, the Rams and the Bears. Bottom line is this, Bears have Trubisky, Rams have Goff, but the Rams have a running game, Bears don't. Bears can't get the running game going, but the Rams won 17-7.
And that was a stinker. Wasn't it? The Bears at this point, man, if you're a Bears fan, I mean, damn. It's rough right now, and it's rough out here in these streets. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and give you our predictions from Week 12. I hope you guys are looking forward to that. Got a big chunk of the show left. But before we do that, obviously, you know, Monday Night Football, that's happening right now pretty much, Nick. How long we got till Monday Night Football? We got a couple hours, about 2 hours till the game starts, 2 hours and some change. The Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, he's back, folks. His knee is located. They're going to be playing the L.A. Chargers. L.A. Chargers had a disappointing victory last week, didn't they, Nick? Was it on Thursday Night Football, right, against y'all? And I think that game probably, for all intents and purposes, took them out of contention because, you know, the Chargers are one of them teams. They'll make that playoff run after starting off slow, you know, and they got a lot of talent. Obviously, there's Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Chargers do have a lot of talent, but here's the bottom line. For the Chargers to win this game, Bosa and Ingram, they're going to have to dominate. They're going to have to get to Mahomes. You can't let Mahomes run around like they do his little magic he loves to do. Running back LeSean McCoy, it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to play tonight. I mean, Andy Reid, you know, decided to deactivate LeSean. Last week, talking about he's up there in age, wants to keep him fresh. This is a game where LeSean should come out and ball, get a lot of carries and touches in this game. But for the Chargers, it's that offensive line. I mean, their offensive line is just terrible. And I think Chris Jones and Frank Clark, they should dominate. They should eat over there. But if the Chargers can run the football effectively with Gordon and Eckler, because that's what the Chiefs struggle against the run, they have a good shot, keep Mahomes off the field. But I just think the Chiefs going to get back in this game. They're going to win this game. I got the Chiefs winning 27-17.
Nick, I think you're spot on this one. Obviously, the Chiefs are going to win this one. I don't think that, you know, necessarily running the ball is going to come into play in this game because for the Chiefs, you know, I mean, I think they're going to live and die by the, you know, by Patrick Mahomes' right arm, basically, in his shoulder. So, you know, just slinging the ball downfield, getting it to those playmakers like Hardman. We know who the guy is, Tariq Hill, you know, the tight end, you know, if they can get it to the guys, you know, there, you know, just allow them to the first and do their thing. Running the ball is not even that important. You know, I don't even know if Shady McCoy even playing in this one. All right. He's back for him. But you know, the Chargers, they really need this game to even, you know, think about still staying in playoff contention. But I don't think they have a chance in this one. The Chargers always play hard. Like I said, they're a team that usually they come back during the stretch run, and they make a good run at it every year. But I don't think this is the game for them to start that run, you know?
Yep. And on that note, let's get into the rest of these games for this. Actually, Week 12.
Week 12.
Thursday
week.
Night. Yeah, Thursday night. I forgot,
start
fans.
Start off with Thursday night.
I'm
football.
Sorry about that, fans, because usually we do the show every Friday night, but we're on new time now, Monday night, so we got a little mixed up there on the schedule.
I like it like this a little bit better because we could preview Monday Night Football, and then we could also talk about the week that just happened, like the games that just happened, talk about that Thursday night game, the results of the scores from Sunday, preview the Monday night, and then, you know, we can give you our predictions for the next week, so that's pretty cool. So, yeah, we'll be hitting you up on Monday night, probably between about 6 and 8 o'clock. Don't come around here before about you remember Thompson.
Yeah. All right. Thursday night football game. You got the 6-4 Colts, who are fourth in rushing with 142 yards a game, and they're ninth against the run. They only average 96 yards a game, going against the 6-4 Texans, who are fifth in rushing with 140 yards per game. For the Colts, I know Marlon Mack is going to be out for a few weeks with that fractured hand. So look for a lot of Nyheim Hines. I look for the little guy to try to do his thing, get himself going. He needs to make plays. Coast defense, you got to shut down Carlos Hyde. We know that Texans passing offense blocking is pretty terrible. So they're going to be trying to run the ball, try to stay balanced on the offense. And also, coach, you need to keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket. Can't let this guy scramble around. If he does that, we already know he makes plays outside the pocket, but keep him in that pocket. And then for the Texans, pound Hyde, get the ball to Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is, because going into the season, everybody was trying to predict how many yards, receiving yards he's going to have, how many catches. Is he going to have about 120 catches, this and that? But Hopkins has actually been, I'm not going to say struggling.
You know, he's been on that same trajectory that OBJ has, for real, man. Like, you're going to have 80 catches, you're going to have over 1,000 yards. But, I mean, you got to think, teams got him D'd up, bro. And there's one thing they're looking at on film, and when they're going through their game plan, it's like, we want to shut this guy down.
Yeah, and the mismatch in this game, the Colts front seven versus the Texans offensive line. I think Colts defensive line front seven should eat pretty good in this game. Jabal Sheard should have a couple sacks as well with Darius Leonard. But on that note, because the Texans are playing at home, I'm going to take the Texans in this game in the close game 27-20.
You got the Texans, man, because, you know, I thought Jacoby Brissett was starting in this one, right? Jacoby Brissett starting. He started yesterday. He won for him. He did well. They didn't have Brian Hoyer in there. So with Jacoby Brissett in, I know Marlon Mack. I know they ain't ruled him out yet. No. Don't be surprised if Marlon Mack possibly played. I know he got injured and he left that game. I know that happened. He ran for 100 yards in that game before he left with that injury. Don't be surprised. He's got a hand injury, right? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Marlon Mack is that type of dude. I'm getting a lot of respect for this dude. He might be out for a couple weeks, but whatever the amount of time they say he's out for, he'll be back quicker than that. Indianapolis and Houston at the Texans. You know, I really think they got a chance to win this game because I love Deshaun Watson. I love his competitiveness. I think they're going to have a little bit of a hangover after the butt whooping. Miles Garrett. Nick showed me where Marlon Mack is out indefinitely. Now, don't forget, Miles Garrett's got his review for his suspension on Wednesday. It showed to be that Marlon Mack is out indefinitely with a hand injury. And I said, damn it, Marlon Mack might. Actually, if it was on Sunday, maybe he played, but not on Thursday. You're right, he's out. So I got Indianapolis still winning this one. The Colts winning this one 23-17. But you telling me that both teams are 6-4. This is an excellent matchup. Houston's actually favored by 3.5 points. I am going to take the Colts in this one because I think now that they're recovered for setback in their QB that they're going to roll. What about Hilton? What's Hilton's status in this one?
I don't know. It's a good question. Right now I haven't seen any report on him because it's Monday, but Hilton probably will be playing. Well, let's go move on. New York Giants, 2-8. G-Man at the Chicago Bears, who are 4-6. You have the Giants coming in this game. Once again, 2-8, which means they're terrible. And they're coming in with the 27th ranked offense. Well, actually, no, 27th ranked defense. Sorry about that. And the Bears are coming in with the 30th ranked offense. So something has to happen in this
something's
game.
Something's going to give. You know, that's what they say, Nick. So it's the movable force against the stoppable object.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say all that. But bottom line in this, for the Giants to have a chance, they're going to have to protect Daniel Jones because this Bears defensive line, they are pissed off. I mean, Khalil Mack, he's been on a milk carton. He's been MIA, hasn't really done anything. Bears fans are calling him out because they're mad about the trade, because their quarterback ain't doing nothing, and they don't have no first-round pick next year in the draft. But like I said, for the Giants, they got to protect Daniel Jones. They got to get Saquon going. I think Saquon Barkley's injured. But, I mean, they got to get him going. I mean, he's not hurt, but no, I think there's something wrong with Saquon. And for the secondary for the Giants, no big plays. I mean, I don't know if Trubisky's going to be playing this game. He did get hurt last night. That's why he was pulled from the game. He has a hip pointer. But if he doesn't play, the Giants secondary's just been giving up big plays all season long. And for the Bears, Like I said, D-line should feast on the Giants. Weak offensive line. Khalil Mack should dominate. But with that being said, I got to take the Bears at home in this game 23-14.
Nick, I don't have any inside information on this, but if you ask me, one of the things that you said was pointed. Like Saquon, he hasn't been right, bro. He ran for a yard like a couple weeks ago in the game. And, you know, Saquon's a beast. He's one of the best running backs in the league. Top five, top ten. I would have said he was the best coming into this year. But, you know, guys like CMC and Chubb have shown me a lot more than what we're seeing from Saquon at this point. But for the Giants, you know, I think that they need a win, and I think they might get a win here. Chicago's favored by 6 in this one, so that's a big line. If you wanted to bet this one, I would definitely take the Giants. I think the Giants are going to win this one straight up, Nick. I got the Giants 24-20 in this one. I look for Danny Dimes. He's not that anymore. He's Danny Fumbles. We know that. It's like the good and bad. It's like, you know, I've been talking about superheroes a lot lately, Nick, because some of the shows I be watching stuff like that, a lot of the superhero shows like what was one with the Boys we were talking about on Prime or whatever. So Danny Dimes is his hero handle, but he's also a bad guy. It's Danny Fumbles. But I think we're going to see the best of Daniel Jones in this one. With the Giants with this one, 24-20. I think the Bears offense, like you said, being basically the lowest rated offense in NFL, not being able to run the ball is going to be a big detriment to them in this game. Even though they have an excellent defense, that defense got to be getting tired, boss. Lifestyle, you know. So, one of the things about the Bears is Mr. Trubisky, he's going to play out his rookie contract. But after that, you got to look at the fact that he's playing to the point where he's got to get dropped off.
Yeah. Yep, Trubisky's pretty terrible. But I'll tell you who else has been struggling the last couple weeks, and that's this Carolina-New Orleans game. Carolina's coming this game 5-5, and their rookie quarterback, Kyle Allen. The hype train was so big and hype for this young man. I mean, he was doing this thing.
Get rid of Cam.
A few weeks ago, fans were talking about, man, we need to move on from Cam.
He wears funny hats.
He's due $19 million, and they were talking about Kyle Allen. We got the future. He's the future, but not so fast. I mean, he's actually going through a tough time right now as a rookie. On Sunday, he did have 4 interceptions, struggled mightily. But the keys for Carolina, which is going to be tough in this game, we already know who their MVP is, which is CMC, Christian McCaffrey. But it's that Saints run defense. They're 3rd against the run. So they know, already know what's coming. Sean Payton is already telling them defense. Dennis Allen's like, listen, all they're going to do is McCaffrey. Screen, get him out. They're going to try to find mismatches on us. We just got to be ready for him, look for him anywhere on the field. But also the keys for Carolina this game, Kyle Allen, do not turn the ball over. For the Saints, just shut down McCaffrey and Drew Brees. Just keep doing what you do on offense. And Michael Thomas, first wide receiver already with 90 catches. I mean, Michael Thomas, he's probably going to have probably – it might end up with 130 catches on the season. But I'm going to take the Saints in this game because I think their line is going to get after Kyle Allen, frustrate the young man down in New Orleans. I'm going to take the Saints in this game 32-17.
First off, Nate, how about the NFC South this year? Cluster, man. You know, you got teams like Atlanta. Atlanta's won like 2 straight, right, including one against New Orleans. Atlanta's on some bull ass. Like, as far as if you're trying to know what's going on, predict your games, you know, take your picks, do well and pick them. You know, you pretty much anytime New Orleans plays Atlanta, you can pretty much book that, right? But I mean, predictably, you know, New Orleans coming off the win, they can play Carolina. Hey, you know, there's not really too much chance that Carolina keeps this competitive. Kyle Allen kind of coming back to reality after, you know, an excellent player. Again, people looked at Carolina like he would be the answer. And don't forget about Will Greer. But don't forget Carolina might draft a quarterback, okay? I mean, again, GTFOH. Like, let's not make it seem like Kyle Allen is Joe Montana. He's got off to a great start. He wasn't turning the ball over. He led a great defense in a running game, helped him to some wins, but now there's some tape on this guy. So as far as Carolina, they're not going to win the game. Like you said, New Orleans defense, that's what propels them to wins at this point. They're 8-2. Their defense is top of the line, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater starting, Drew Brees. They're going to get wins either way, 27-17. In this one, I got New Orleans winning. New Orleans is a 9-point favorite in this one. Neek, I'm going to actually backtrack to Tampa Bay and Atlanta. This is a stinker game, Neek. We can get through this one quick. Both teams are 3-7. Atlanta is favored by 4 points in this one because they're at home. Jameis Winston throws interceptions, and Matt Ryan has not been spectacular. But I do think that his cast has been playing well over the last couple weeks. Guys like Ridley have been showing out and showing ass. And, Nate, you know that Atlanta's going to win this one, right? This is the other NFC South game of the week. I got Atlanta winning this one 31-20. Again, Atlanta favored by 4 points, Nick. I don't know if you really want to elaborate on this game too much, but have at this stinker bowl.
It's not really a stinker, though. I mean, to me, it's not because
both teams
the Bucks, when you look at them offensively, they can be a firepower. But last week, fortunately, bad Jameis came to play, 4 interceptions. It depends on what Jameis you're going to get this week. And for the Falcons, Matt Ryan offensively, I mean, Matt Ryan was solid, 311 yards passing and a touchdown. And I think the Falcons, they're just going to be too much firepower in this game. I think Falcons go win this game 34-24. All right, Buffalo and Denver. For Denver, I mean, if you get a lead in this game, keep the damn lead. On to the lead for dear life and win the game. I mean, Denver went to Minnesota last week. I didn't think they had a shot to beat Minnesota, and they dominate Minnesota for 3 quarters. But fourth quarter, they just struggled. They couldn't get it together, and they struggled, and they ended up losing that game. For Denver to win this game, get the ball to Courtland Sutton, who's been balling last couple weeks, had over 100 receiving yards on Sunday. Phil Lindsay, got to get him going, get the running game going. And they got to cover John Brown. I'm looking forward to see if Vic Fangio is going to have Chris Harris, the Broncos' best cover corner, going to be on John Brown this game. I would love to see that matchup, good matchup right there for Buffalo. Got to get after the young kid, Brandon Allen, frustrate him. That defense needs to be suffocating. And then they need to feed Devin Singletary, the rookie running back, a little bit more. He had 15 carries, 75 yards on Sunday. But I'm going to take the Bills in this game at home. I think they're going to make life a living hell for Brandon Allen.
Neek, you know what's one thing that's I think is kind of an enigma is Josh Allen for the Bills. Like, statistically, you look at it, he kind of does just enough in the pass game. But most games, he'll have a rushing touchdown. You know, so he's an interesting player when you look at, you know, the success of the Bills and how he contributes to it. And he doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He does not turn the ball over a lot. The Bills are 7-3 for a reason. The Broncos are 3-7 after losing, after blowing a 20-point lead against the Vikings. So with the Broncos, even if they have a lead, it's not safe. I'm Brandon Allen, solid QB. I like his game. But in this one, the Bills are going to win this one because the Bills are a team that knows how to win. And the Broncos, I'm not sure about them yet and their offense. They have to establish an identity. I think Fangio's the coach there. It seems like you were questioning that earlier in the show. But I think that they have to get some more players. They have to restock the cabinet. So in this one, I got Buffalo winning 31-20. Buffalo's a 5-point favorite in here. Take Buffalo.
Yeah, and in this game right here I'm about to talk about, if your girl taps you on your shoulder and says, "Babe, wake up, football's on." You're like, "Oh, okay, what game is on?" The Steelers and the Bengals. Huh? Say that again. "Babe, football's on. The Steelers and the Bengals. That's the only game that's on right now." "Yes, babe, but it's football. You love football. Wake me up when it's over with." Huh? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Bengals and Steelers in this game. Steelers are 5-5. Bengals are 0-10.
No.
0-10.
Did you say 0-10?
0-10.
They're not 0-10.
They're 0-10.
They ain't won a damn game.
They ain't won a damn game. That's sad. That is sad. So there's not much to talk about in this game. Bengals have rookie QB, Ryan Finley. He's trying to make a name for himself, trying to get a job going in next year as a starter. I don't think that's going to happen. J. Watt going to be headhunting this game. He probably had about 4 sacks in this game. Anytime you're going to anytime you go against John Jerry and Bobby Falstar Hart, it's just that's a field day. They're going to have fun. So Steelers going to win this game. I don't care about the score, but Steelers is a win game.
this is a bully division, bro. I'm telling you, the AFC North, I'm about to tell you right after this show what I think about the AFC North and the Browns, and I'm about to tell you in a ratchet fashion with hand clapping and a whole bunch of that type of thing, because the AFC North is a bully division, and which team do you think is going to bully who in this game? Pittsburgh's 5-5. Cincinnati's 0-10. Cincinnati's going to get their butts whooped, but I don't even think that it's going to be like a big, like, lopsided score. I just see Pittsburgh winning this one 13-10 or 17-10. They're going to do just enough to win, but Mason Rudolph, you're garbage.
All right, let's touch on the Rudy's team. 2-8, Dolphins going to Cleveland, take on the 4-6 Browns. I'm just going to say this real fast. Dolphins are 29th offensively. They're 29th defensively. So for the Browns, when you hear these stats, if Freddie Kitchens, I mean, actually Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator, he's saying, do you guys just hear what I just said? Dolphins are ranked 29th offensively and 29th defensively. So it's pick your poison for the Browns this game. Chubb should ball out. OBJ should ball out. Landry should ball out. Hell, the whole team should ball out in this game. I got the Browns win this game 31-13.
You mean what's left for the team, bro? We do got Njoku coming back, kind of give you some updates. You know, we do have obviously some people out. It'd probably be Garrett, Ogunjobi, Vernon, not sure about him. Really hope Vernon comes back. Hope Randall plays. Our defense is ragtag. So for that reason, even though Miami's 2-8, and, you know, we got two games ahead of them, what, in the playoff race? Obviously, Miami doesn't have a chance for the playoff race. We're 4-6. Don't overlook Miami in this game. They do got real NFL players. In other words, I say to my team or whatever team, they get paid too in the NFL. So the Browns in this one, just do the thing. Run the ball. Play your game. Let Baker pass off of the run. You know, as far as the defense, stay in your 4-2-5, but you might not want to go blitz heavy or expect a lot in terms of pressure. Bring the secondary when you want pressure. And, you know, Njoku being back with Ricky Seals-Jones, that's the key to success, I think, for the Browns. Should help some of the red zone woes. Look for Kareem Hunt to get at least 10 carries in this one, and I think the Browns should be able to handle this one pretty handily. 27-13, I got the Browns beating the Dolphins.
All right, Oakland Raiders traveling
Browns
to the East Coast.
Browns favored by 10.5.
All right, yeah, we know Browns going to win. Oakland Raiders, 6-4, traveling to the East Coast, take them 3-7 Jets. Jets been looking good the last couple weeks. Keys for Oakland, just play smart, be careful, don't play down to the Jets. Carr, keep it up, you're efficient so far in the year, 15 touchdowns, 5 picks. Pound Josh Jacobs. My bad, Josh. Pound Josh Jacobs, 923 yards so far on the season, seven TDs as well. And for the Jets, it's all about getting the ball to Ryan Griffin. Last few weeks, Ryan Griffin's been going off touchdown in all three games. But I think the Raiders, because they're focused, they're 6-4. They can't look ahead to the following week because they play the Chiefs. I think the Raiders going to win this game 23-21.
Man, shout out to Brandon Jacobs, man. He was a big back, man. Josh Jacobs is a very good back for you guys. Rookie of the year, Nick, you mentioned that, possibly. You know, I like Kyler Murray, too. He's a good guy, man. I want to see him, you know, against Baker in a few weeks. But obviously, we're talking kind of Oakland and the New York Jets. Oakland, the Jets are 3-7. Oakland's favored by 3 on the road. The line could change between now and Sunday. But I got the Raiders winning this one, taking care of a bad team on the road, 23-17. Don't forget about the West Coast to East Coast, you know, kind of lag here. Look for Darnold to keep his streak of good games going. So it'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, and then that's going to be interesting, but this game is not so interesting. You got 3-6-1 Detroit traveling to Washington to take on 1-9 Redskins. Driscoll versus Haskins. I'm going to take Driscoll in this game because the Redskins are pretty terrible. I got Detroit win this game 23-17. Don't know why, but look for a bowl. Scarborough to have about 20 touches in this game. For almost 100 yards. I look for him to be a fantasy steal this week.
Who did you mention?
Oh, Alabama running back.
Okay. So, in this one, Detroit and Washington, bro, I don't got too much to say about this one. Detroit's 3-6-1, I think you mentioned. Washington is 1-9. This is a stink bowl, Nick. I looked this up, man. The tickets for this game are $9. You want to go? Nah, I don't want to go either, man. This game is 24-16. Detroit's still playing hard, man. Detroit's actually favored by 3.5 in this one. Haskins has not been playing very well. You know, I do think that he's going to start to develop a little bit and start playing a little bit better. So it's good for him to get this experience, especially against another, like, subpar team. But, yeah, Detroit's got the experience here. Driscoll's actually been playing well. Detroit in this one 24-16.
All right, 8-2 Seattle at 5-5 Philadelphia. Keys for Seattle in this game: get the ball to Chris Carson, around him, get after Carson Wentz, and Russell Wilson just continue to do your thing for Philadelphia. Wentz needs to step it up. Last week, on Sunday, 214 yards and a touchdown. He was struggling, and the Eagles' offensive line might take a big hit this game because Lane Johnson left the game on Sunday with a concussion, and Miles Sanders only 11 carries for 38 yards. He needs more touches if the Eagles want to have a chance in this game. I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks in the close game, 23-17.
All right, Nick. Actually, in this one, I got Seattle, who's 8-2 team, scoring 27, and I got Philadelphia, a 5-5 team, competing for that NFC East, championship there to see who can make the playoffs with 21. So I got Seattle winning this one, 27-21. Don't forget Russell Wilson is definitely in the MVP debate. I look for him to continue that type of play. Carson Wentz, I think he's really carried his team this year, actually. I don't think he's really in that debate. His team is, it's playing all right. But Philadelphia is favored by 1.5 here. Don't forget they're at home. So that usually gets you about 3 points. I got Seattle taking this one again at 8-2. They've been playing some great ball.
All right, 4-6 Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Tennessee to take on a 5-5 Tennessee game. Fans, I'm going to tell you right now, if you like running back, if you like basic pound-the-ball offenses, watch this game. You're going to see Derrick Henry have about 30 carries this game. Leonard Fournette, who's pissed off right now, he had 8 carries last week for 23 yards. He is pissed off. Give Fournette, feed Fournette about 25 carries in this game. But with that being said, I'm going to take Tennessee at home in a close game, 24-21.
Nick, I like running the ball. And I like running the ball in defense. So I like this kind of game. Jacksonville against Tennessee, a good AFC South matchup. Almost reminded me of the AFC North. Jacksonville at 4-6. They finally got Foles back in the fold. And Tennessee at 5-5 in this one. You got two big running backs, like you said, Fournette for Jacksonville, for Tennessee, Derrick Henry. And this one, it's an old slobber knocker. I do think that it might be low scoring, but I actually got my score predicted from my psychic at 27-23. Tennessee beating Jacksonville in this one. Tennessee favored by 3 at home, so you might as well say this is like even, except for the Titans are at home.
All right, Nick's game of the week is 6-4 Dallas at 9-1 New England. You have the Dallas Cowboys coming in this game, have the number one ranked offense. The Patriots in this game, coming in this game with the number one ranked defense, so something has to give. For the Cowboys, don't get too cute. Kellen Moore, listen to me. Offense coordinator, I know this is your first year calling the plays for Dallas. Just give the ball to Zeke 30 times in this game. Built for this game. He's built for this type of weather. And if you want to win this game, give him the ball 30-plus carries. But for New England, Bill Belichick understands this offense has been struggling. I look for them to get their offense back on track. Michelle White to have about a total of 3 combined touchdowns. I have New England win this game 31-28.
Nick, don't rush this one. This is a big-ass game, bro. New England at 9-1 against Dallas at 6-4. Again, obviously, we got Philadelphia, playing earlier that day, battling, for that division crown. Philadelphia's at 5-5 right now. Dallas is at 6-4, so they can't afford a loss here. They want to win that NFC East and not have to worry about the wild card situation. But New England, they're obviously going to win the AFC East. But, I mean, obviously they have to worry about home field advantage, things like that. They want to win every game that they can. So this is going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be a great competition between these two teams. Dak's been putting up some numbers. Zeke has been putting up great numbers, but he's kind of underperformed a little bit. So look for that to be the advantage in this one. Dallas controls the line of scrimmage in this one, as far as Zeke having a good game. But, Nick, I still got New England winning this one big. I got New England winning this one 35-14. I think they won a little. Sunday night football, bro.
All right, Sunday night football. You have 8-2 Green Bay at 9-1 San Francisco. Keys for Green Bay. Don't change anything on offense. Aaron Rodgers runs this offense. Defensively, the Smith brothers, they need to get after Jimmy G, make his life a living hell. For San Francisco, Jimmy G, no turnovers. On Sunday, they usually had two interceptions. They got to get the running game going. Tevin Campbell, 12 carries, 14 yards. 12 carries, 14 yards. That's pretty terrible. Key match for this game. Samuel versus Jai Alexander. That should be a hell of a battle. I'm going to take Green Bay on the road 28-27.
Hey, Nick. Look, in this one, it's next Sunday night. Again, you got the 8-2 Packers against the 9-1 San Francisco 49ers. Excellent game here, man. San Francisco's favored by 3 points at this point. You know, they're at home. They may, that line may change before then. Monday Night Football, we'll actually touch on that next Monday when we do the show. It's not a big deal. The Ravens play the Rams. But in this one, I got Green Bay winning this Sunday night affair, 27-24 over the 49ers, giving them their second loss. They look susceptible against the Cardinals. Neat, rude. You know the show. You love it, man. You happy to hear from us. We happy to hear from you. We love you guys, man. Yo.
All right. See you next week. Neek Root. See you guys next week.
Yes, sir.